Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Hope Story Circle on June 6th. Unbelievable, we're in June. This is brought to you by the Peace Alliance. The Peace Alliance has a mission to empower civic action toward a culture of peace. And we do that with education, advocacy, and mobilization of grassroots networks to take action and to build peace and reduce violence in our communities and in our world. And these Hope Story Circles have been going on now. This is our 12th one. We've been coming for 3 months and it's been so wonderful and rich, and we've so enjoyed sharing our time with you. For those of you who are new to our Hope Story Circles, welcome. And for those of you who have been with us before, welcome back. The people who are new, we'll step through how we're gonna work as we go along. So just be with us, and we're glad to see you here. And with that, I'm going to hand it off to Yelena to lead us in a meditation.
Good morning, everybody. And good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. It is lovely to see you. What I'm going to guide us. I'd like to use word guide instead of lead. Guide us in today is actually a practice. So I would love to, say it's a practice, and it is a practice of starting with really landing in our bodies. Prior to, starting this conversation, can we just allow ourselves to bring attention and awareness into our body? And to start that, let's start by orienting where we are, where we are as in the space that you are. So I invite you to, as you are looking at the screen, maybe gaze from the screen further into a space and see what's up in front of you. Notice, orient, and notice visually what is beyond the screen. And just for a moment, take that visual information in, maybe pause. And it feels overwhelming, close your eyes or gaze down, but notice, where are you in space? Where is your body on the chair? And maybe from there, can you look at over your left shoulder? And maybe even turn your hips and really take in what is in the space that is beyond your left shoulder. Notice, where are you? And then come back to the center. And then maybe do the same thing. The invitation is to do the same thing with your left. Right, again, a right shoulder, right hip, what is there? Taking that information visually. And come back. What you're doing is actually activating part of your nervous system, part of the vagal nerve. And that plays a role into our nervous system regulation. And when you center yourself, notice the feet on the ground, body seated or standing. And just for a moment, put your awareness on your breath or soles of the feet. And if it feels comfortable, close your eyes. If it does not, just gaze down. And maybe count 5 breaths in and out. slowly orienting back to space onto the screen, taking a look. Who is in the room together today? Yeah. Welcome, everybody. It is my pleasure today to introduce to you a dear friend and colleague of mine, but also somebody that you might be familiar and might have been in the groups with you, in the Hope Story circles, in the small groups with you. And it's Dave Trachtenberg that I want to introduce. But also I want to speak to, you know, when we started this Hope Story Circles, it was a real intention to be a circle. And I know we are all in these Zoom calls. So as part of the circle, we would love to have the voices from the circle speak. So Dave has been practicing circle practices for a while. And is a facilitator of mindfulness and has been working with a circle practice format. But what I'm really excited and want to invite Dave to share is he has a powerful storytelling voice and a storytelling voice that inspires and stirs the heart. And with that heart stirring, that's how I actually want to invite him in, as a heart stirrer. So that would be my, my title, for what he does. Welcome, Dave.
Dave, feel free to unmute yourself.
Hi, welcome everybody. Such an honor to be here today. And I've never been called a heart stirrer before, so thank you for that beautiful compliment, Yelena. So just wanted to start with acknowledging the deep pain and suffering that's happening right now in so many US communities. Around the death of George Floyd. When we talk about peace education, one thing I think about so much is that it's important to name things. And with mindfulness, that a practice dedicated to opening our awareness to what is in the present, the importance of naming what is here. Yeah, in this country right now, there's a lot of communities and deep pain. And I just wanted to name that and make sure that that's in the room today. Excuse my cough, I have an asthma cough. I'll try to mute if it comes. When I think about that idea of pain though, today, I thought we'd explore what it means for each of us to find hope, where we find a sense of strength or wisdom inside oneself, when there is pain or a darkness all around. And I thought I'd start with a quote that is very popular in mindfulness circles. But I'm going to probably come at this quote from a different lens. And maybe some of you have heard this, maybe not. But the quote is, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. The same person also has a different quote. I grasp the meaning that the greatest secret that the human poetry and human thought and belief have to impart, that the salvation of people is through love and in love. So this quote around mindfulness is tossed around a lot. This idea that basically if we pause at any time in our lives, that there's a freedom to choose how we want to respond to things. And usually mindfulness is pointing to the action and skill of that. What I would love to draw attention to is who said that quote, because sometimes I don't think enough attention's given to the author of it, who is Viktor Frankl and a Holocaust survivor. And I mention this as I come from a family of Holocaust survivors. So I grew up in many ways with a family who is very small because so many people were killed in the war. And with a lot of stories of the atrocities that happened there. And so sometimes I just sit with that quote sometimes, that the person, the same person who is saying the salvation of people lies in our ability to love another human being, to immerse ourselves in love, that we have a freedom to how to act, comes from a human being that has seen more atrocity committed to mankind than just about anything we could imagine. And he talks about, this is someone who in concentration camps had his father, mother, child, and brother systematically killed, who was forced to march naked, cold, shivering in the streets. And still his entire life and career is based around this idea of our salvation lies in the ability to love one another. And one of the things he talks about, and I'm gonna bring this into my own life, my version of this, is that at his very worst of times when he faced these human atrocities, he talks about the idea that there's an inner void or emptiness inside of ourselves when we face a darkness, and that we have the ability to fill it regardless of our circumstances, that that's not something life or another person can take away from us, that we have an ability to actually light a candle inside oneself. And for him, what he did in his moments of deepest pain, I find this so touching, when he was forced to run in freezing weather, naked, shaved, you know, complete devastation of the human spirit, he carried with him an image of his wife as his go-to. He will actually imagine her and hold her in his mind, describing that lit something in him. It allowed him to connect. Even when everything in life was happening, it allowed him to connect with the spark of beauty and love inside himself, just seeing her image and smile inside himself. And so the question that kind of pose here today is, when have we done that? when is it in our lives we have been in a situation that is hard, difficult, and yet we made it through to the other side in one piece? And like, where is it we turn to in those moments to find that strength, that courage, that light? And I mention him, and I want to be clear about that. I'm not mentioning this to be like overly dark or anything. The reason I bring up Viktor Frankl is I have a deep belief. It gives me hope that we can see people throughout history, regardless of country or culture, who have shown the ability to light that candle inside themselves in the greatest of atrocities. And I know when I find myself facing my own difficulty, I take refuge in that, that there are those before who have done this, oftentimes in circumstances far more great than I myself have faced and know. But I thought I'd share a brief nugget of my own life in this, which is in my high school years, which is 22 years ago now and makes me feel very, very old. I switched schools between middle and high school. For those not in the US, that's like between 14, 15 years of age here. And I just remember feeling so lonely. I think that word defined my being in that era, to the point when I did not understand how to connect with other people. I wasn't taught that skill. It wasn't modeled for me. And I remember walking through high school in this daze. It felt like this darkness that I could not see past. I was a very kind and I'd say sensitive kid that never knew how to really navigate social dynamics at that point well. And I remember coming home at the end of each day so relieved that I had just made it through another day in this building that seemed so hostile, so cruel to each other, when all I was trying to put out was a smile or kindness. I felt constant rejection. And that resulted in me starting to dislike myself as a human being. And this darkness overtook me to the point when I forgot what it meant to have joy. Like, I couldn't even see it. Like, the idea of looking at other people smiling and laughing, it felt so foreign. It just grew the emptiness and disconnect more. And at the worst of times, I questioned my own life. Do I want to continue living? And what changed that was a man named Sam Holt. Shout if you are still alive, Mr. Holt, my ninth grade beautiful man of a history teacher, who had fought in the Vietnam War. He was a pacifist and he was forced to fight. And he, in his classrooms, never used a textbook for history because he wanted it to be alive, what we were learning. But what he really did, the gift he gave, was he created a safe space for people to express themselves. And I heard this man, Mr. Holt, you know, I'm this 15-year-old kid, lost, directionless, lonely. And I heard this guy who, you know, he just sit on his desk and be like, you know, I saw some real messed up stuff when I was younger. And it is my goal that in this space here, everyone feels welcome and accepted for who you are and who you wish to be. Because with the pain that I felt, the best way I felt I could give back was to create a room where 30 individuals can come and feel that they can speak their heart. And he did a gesture to me, which I will never forget, which is when me sitting shy, alone, like feeling like I'm dying on the inside every day, hopeless. He noticed that I wore a lot of black band t-shirts, which was popular in the 90s. And one of them was Jimi Hendrix. And after class, when we were all rolling out, he just saw that t-shirt and was like, hey, you know, Jimmy is one of my favorite guitarists. Like, you into the Rolling Stones at all? And I wasn't. And after class, he gave me a CD, compact disc, of Rolling Stones and the Beatles. And he was just like, you know, you should check this out. I think you might like it. For me at that time, to have a human being, and he later shared this with me later, he was like, you know, I could see, as we got to know each other, he's like, yeah, I could see you were kind of in a place. And so for him to ask a question, like, hey, are you into music? Like, I dig in your t-shirt. And that moment, amidst my inner darkness, it was like someone shined a flashlight into my world and was saying, I see you. You matter. Someone here sees that you exist. I'm inviting you in and you belong here. Through the simple act of music and giving, you know, a kid a CD. And so when I sit with the idea of where I personally draw a sense of inner strength or wisdom from, it's actually other people that I turn to inside myself. If I'm feeling angry, I go inside myself. I imagine my Tai Chi teacher from years ago teaching me to slow down through movement. If I'm feeling real sad, like, and I allow myself to be with that, I imagine the people who were there who had my back during that sadness, and I hear their words inside me, inside my wisdom. Basketball coaches, therapists, meditation teachers, inspirational speakers, for me, they're inside us all the time to access. And so when Viktor Frankl says, in that space, we find our freedom for how to respond. For me, in that space, I pause and I go within to hear those words that others have spoken to me when I needed them most. And I relight that candle to find my hope for how to make it through the present moment. Mm. And so today, just going to give 2 minutes as we transfer to small groups to find what our own version of that is. And just inviting everyone to close your eyes maybe, or if it's more comfy to keep the eyes open. But just hearing the one question, what's a time in your life that was difficult that you made it past? And what did you turn to? How did you do it? Where did you go inside or outside yourself to find the means to do that? And just notice what arises. Light or deep. There's no right or wrong answer. Just what's a moment in your life when you found strength, wisdom, or resilience, or hope to guide you past a difficult time? Feels right, allowing your eyes to open. Knowing it's okay if you don't have the perfect thing, maybe even nothing arose, it's okay. But we ask the question to try to find inside us. And with that, I'll pass to Yelena.
Thank you, Dave. It's time for us to listen. And I just wanna remind us when we go into our small groups to keep the agreements that we have for this space. And above all is listening from heart, really listening to each other and stories that are coming up. And in this particular time, just allowing us not to engage in any particular conversation, but just really listen to a person that is speaking. And when we come back into the space, because of this, you know, what we are inviting you to share in the group, and because these are recorded, we really want to keep confidentiality. So keep confidentiality of the story content within the small groups, because the small groups are not recorded. So it is really important that when we come back, we do not focus on the content of the story, but rather on the felt sense of what have you felt either as a speaker or as a listener. So pay attention to that. Be there for each other. And if you don't particularly feel that you want to share, we invite you to go in and listen, because it's really about listening. Listen to each other and give that gift to somebody wants to share. Yeah. And so just introduce yourselves and decide who wants to go first. Then we'll have about 15 to 18 minutes. I think Terry will keep reminding us when the time is to come back. I think that's all that I want to share.
Okay, great. So what I'm going to do now is send everyone an invitation to join a breakout room. In most cases, it'll be a group of three people. There might be a couple of groups of two people. I'm going to do my best to make sure all the groups are even. If you get a second invitation, it's a good invitation. Take it. It just means I'm trying to even up the groups and make sure everybody has the right number of people to talk to. And I will give you about a 3-minute warning before we come back. So do take time to be sure that everyone has the opportunity to share. Let's see. Okay, here we go. We'll see you in about 15 minutes. And we're back. So welcome back, everyone. It's lovely to see you. What is alive from the breakouts that people may want to share or ask? And again, the confidentiality of the story content, and just what was felt as the speaker, the listener, and the small groups. Feel free to unmute yourself if you'd like to speak, or raise your hand and I will try to unmute you.
I'm trying to see who would like to be to share. Oh, is that Linda? Linda, do you want to unmute
yourself? Can you unmute yourself?
Yes. Did that work? Okay, awesome. Thank you. I'm at school today because we started teaching live, and I had six-year-olds with me over the last hour. And in our group, I feel like we were all teachers of some kind, and we talked about the fact that we never know when we're going to, in that moment of teaching, reach out to someone in their heart and affect their lives. And so that was a really wonderful takeaway, is that we teach by example. And if we just continue that, hopefully we'll be able to help someone find love in their life.
Thank you, Linda. Is there some, wait, I'm trying to see the names.
My name is Deb.
Yes, I did.
You connected me with somebody who was also an early childhood educator. I already forgot her name. I can't believe it. Anna. And it was so exciting because we both work with young children in education, and we see a connection between the children that we work with, love, nature, and peace education. Mm-hmm. And so we just had like this connection.
Beautiful.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Who else would like to unmute and be heard? I'm trying to see all the screens at once.
Cheryl, can you unmute yourself? There you go.
Thank you. I just want to thank you, Dave, that you reached my heart so deeply and to the point of tears. And I appreciate your story. A lot of it was my own experiences as well, in different ways. And I appreciated hearing the stories of the two people in my group and feeling safe enough to tell mine. And I have always been one who wants to hear each person's story that I meet along the way. So I just want to tell you how much this session in particular has moved me, and your truth brought out my truth. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheryl. Anna?
Yes, thank you. I want to especially thank Yelena for the reminder of listening, and to Dave for sharing the power of stories. I'm the other early childhood educator that was with Deb, and we talked about nature. And for 40 years in my work with the Peace Alliance, what I've encouraged and nurtured is looking through a mirror, looking in the mirror, and then looking beyond the mirror. And Yelena had to start out looking to the right and to the left and raising our awareness. And so I offer everyone an invitation to look at both sides of nature, human nature and Mother Nature, and how the nurturing and listening to the calm, quiet waters, the breeze in the trees, just being quiet and listening in nature, I think will help all of us as we work to heal both Mother Nature and the trap that still continue from the Holocaust to, you know, the travesty here in Minneapolis. I'm in Minnesota with George Floyd. So listening and mirroring and connecting both sides of nature. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Would anyone else like to share? Yelena.
Yeah. You know, sometimes things are not meant to be taught, like thinking. We are all in our thinking line all the time. And I feel. And when you feel, if we come from the heart, then something bigger opens up. When we come from the heart, when we come but are grounded in our body, but come from the heart, and let the mind follow that. That's what I got from this. Mm-hmm. That is, let the stirring of the heart and grounding of the body be the things that actually guide us rather than our mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Yes, Belinda, can you unmute yourself?
So what I got, and I want to say from the day in total, not just from my session, was great too, and I thank the people that were in my session, Christina and Bud. But what I'm hearing that resonates for me, especially from the quote about between stimulus and response, is and the notion of speaking from the heart, that it's important, that I've learned in my learning, that it's important to tend to take care of and heal a broken heart before we respond from it. Mm-hmm. That to bypass the healing component of that places us in jeopardy. it places us individually in jeopardy, and it places those around us in jeopardy. Because a broken heart breaks hearts. And there are many mechanisms for helping to do that in terms of the trauma that's caused by the broken heart. And that, for me, that only happens with connection to spirit. And spirit can be found in nature. It can be found in a theological belief, some kind of belief system, but it rests within all of us. And the necessity, we talk about nature, the necessity for all of us to attend to, spirit in terms of its splintering, is necessary for the planet to heal, for the universe to heal, because it causes this fissure, this membrane that is the universe. It begins to separate, and until we deal with that separation, until we can not bypass the hurt, not hold it, but to experience it in its fullest. Because it's from the transforming of that that we find our joy.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Well, I'm just so grateful for all of you being here today, and I'm grateful, Dave, for your participation. I'm going to put just a couple of links in the chat. We have our national call on Tuesday, and Heart Phoenix, for those of you who are on her call with us a few weeks ago, is going to be a guest at that call, in addition to her husband, Jeffrey Weisberg, talking about the River Phoenix Center for Peace Building and the work that they're doing. So I invite you to join that call. The registration link is there. Also, the link to our podcasts for these calls, if you'd like to go back and listen and share them with your personal network. We also have an ongoing action that we're offering to sign our Blueprint for Peace, and I'll put that link in here. And lastly, if anyone is inspired to donate and invest in what we're doing, we would appreciate that. So thank you so much for being here and being a part of our Hope Story Circles. And Liz, I'll hand it off to you to close.
Can I ask a question before we close?
Sure.
The links that are in the chat, mm-hmm. How do we access those after the call?
You copy them right now onto something that you can copy paste.
Okay. While you guys are doing that, I'm going to end our call with a personal share. Dave, your share resonated very deeply with me. I spent 17 years as a middle school history teacher. And when you were speaking, a couple of things came flooding in. I'm still in touch with many of my students. I would say a couple of hundred of my former students over the years. And in the last year, I got a phone call. A former student had tried to take her own life, and her family just couldn't deal with her anymore. And I was the name that she gave them to sit by her side. And then just a couple of months ago, before New York went into lockdown, I heard from a former student who had finally gotten the courage to leave a really violent marriage. And I went with her at 3:00 in the morning to the trauma center. And then just this week, a student reached out, and I don't know why she did, but she wanted to tell me that when she was in my class, she got her period. And her mother had never told her what that was. And she was scared. And she said to me, "You got a teacher to watch the class, and you brought me materials, and you sat me down, and you brought me to the faculty room, and you gave me a lot of time." And she said, "I never forgot that." And Dave, what you reminded me in this moment, when I was talking to her, she said, "Mrs. Graydon, we knew that you loved us." And what you awakened for me, Dave, is what a sacred trust it is. There are so many teachers on here, right? To love other people's children. And I think for me, for those of us who are mothers or teachers, that final call that George Floyd made of for his mother, I said, right, what it really awakened in me is not just the personal mother, but that idea that we're responsible for everyone else's children, you know? And I just want to leave us, the other thing I thought is some of these kids I've had long relationships with, some very brief. Dave, I was so moved. And I, what came up for me is maybe it doesn't matter the length of time we have an impact in someone's life, but whether we can provide them with a genuine experience of unconditional love, you know? And so I invite us to just continue and let this resonate through our week in when have I received that gift of unconditional love? And when have I offered that gift of unconditional love? And I'd just like us to take kind of three deep breaths together, right? You mentioned the healing of the planet. We've done this for once before. In the beginning of our calls, we were breathing for the planet and for the COVID patients. And now I'm aware that we're adding the words of George Floyd, who couldn't breathe. Let's breathe in one breath for all those who can't breathe in this moment. Let's breathe in one breath for Mother Earth. And let's breathe together to understand that my in-breath is your out-breath and how interconnected we all are. And in this moment, one final breath together. I want to thank Terry for always holding the space, and Yelena, beautiful Yelena, who holds our love and care so deeply. And Dave, for the power of your story, I will be infinitely grateful. And for all of you who joined us, thank you. And I look forward to seeing you all again next week.
Feel free to unmute yourself and say goodbye. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, yeah,
thank you, everybody.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.